For your benefit, particularly young people, up here on the screen, some lovely pictures to make sure we got to grips with that story. So just have a look-see for a moment up on the screen, and let's see if we can remember how this story that Jesus told went. You see, it's called the Parable of the Tenants. And up there on the screen, can you see? That's what a vineyard might have looked like. One day, Jesus was in the temple teaching. This happened during that Holy Week that we've been thinking about. And the chief priests and the leaders of the people didn't like what Jesus was saying, and they questioned his authority. I wonder if you've ever questioned your mum and dad's authority. I bet you have. I know I did when I was your age. And Jesus said, listen to this story. There once was a man who planted a vineyard and built a wall around it. Can you see that? The wall is being built. When he'd finished building the wall, he dug a wine press. That was so when the grapes grew, you could tread them and make the wine, get the grape juice out. Then he built a watchtower to look out for wild animals who might come in, to tear it up, and to look out for robbers who might come in from outside. And when everything was finished, he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. Here's the farmers. Funny looking bunch, aren't they? Here they are working in the vineyard. They began to work. They looked after it. They tended the grapes. They treated the vines. They let them run along the wires and the stays. And they cut out the weeds and the dead wood. And when the harvest time came, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants, and they beat one, and they killed another, and they stoned a third. And he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Oh dear. Finally, he sent his son. Surely they will respect my son, he said. Here is the son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, oh, this is the heir. Come on, let's kill him and take the inheritance. So they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He'll bring them to a wretched end. There they are, sent out. Perhaps they too deserve to die for their crimes, and he will rent to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. And here is the vineyard. And Jesus replied, as we've heard already, surely you know that the scriptures say the stone that the builders tossed aside is now the most important stone of all. I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew they were talking about them. Well, that's putting the story together from the two or three times that we know that Jesus told it. And I'm grateful to, I think it's Henry Martin who's done the drawings. But let's just think about those words now and consider who's who and what's what. Because this story is meant to tell us something else. It's not actually about vineyards and the people back then. It's got a lot of similarities for us today. If you're local people in town, we've got a land dispute going on. You might have been seeing it played out in the papers, haven't you? Over at Mistley Quay, we've got landowners and people who want to use the land, haven't we? And the landowner says he has a responsibility for public safety and he wants this fence up so nobody falls in. And the public say, well, look, guys, we've been going in and out here over this quay into the sea for years and we want to keep up our rights. Cases like that, if one side gives up, the other side gets their way. Sometimes dispute needs to be worked out. In our story, if the landowner hadn't sent the rent collectors, the tenants would have been right to say, it's all ours. You don't want your portion? 3 years on the trot, oh landowner? It's all ours and we'll have everything, thank you very much. But as I said, this isn't a story about vineyards. It's not a story about watchtowers and wine presses. It's not even a story about Mistley Quay and fences. This is a story about people. It's a story about you and me. It's a story about God and how we get to know him. You see here, the landowner, you see him on the screen, is God. The Bible tells us that he is the first cause. We're here on this world because he decided that would be the case. He is a creating and a creative God. That's how the landowner is pictured, the one who starts it all off, the one who makes it all happen. There was a master of the house. That's the one who stands at the top of the heap. He didn't plant the vineyard by his own hands, I don't think, although the story pictured it, he might have done. He came and stood with the tenants, I suspect, or some of his own workers, and he looked at this hillside and he said, I love this field. Look at the way it faces south to the sun. Look at the way it's protected from that wind. Do you know what would be great for this field? A vineyard. Be perfect. This is actually the perfect place to put a vineyard. Why did I never see it before? He might have said to himself. Of course, God didn't do that. God saw and it was perfect when he made it. And the tenants, sadly, they see it a bit differently when they come along, don't they? They look at that fantastic vineyard now up there on that fantastic piece of hillside and they say, phew, I can get a bit out of that. If that were mine, just think how much money it would make. So the landlord there is a no expenses spared fantastic creator God. Sets up the contracts, sets everything in place, wants everything to be good and proper and right. It's a fantastic picture of a vineyard having everything it needs. It didn't need to take the grapes out in a cart and tread them somewhere else. Didn't need to have an extra guard because it had the watchtower so they could see this vineyard had everything. And the tenants, well, here's our bunch of tenants. Do you know, I want to say as we begin, I was a tenant once. I was one of these tenants once. You might still be today. In those days, of course, it was the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders who rejected Jesus. They thought they'd got the world sorted out. They thought the vineyard was theirs to do what they liked with and take all the money out of it. But they were wrong. And when we think like that, we're wrong. When I thought like that, I was wrong. They were indignant, these Pharisees, because Jesus challenged them. And we're often indignant, aren't we, when somebody challenges our worldview. The thing is, there are many people today who, though in a nominally and once strong Christian country that this one is, they're not Christians. They think they are. But, for instance, they come up with what we call the God of the gaps. So they say science and evolution provide an answer to this bit and this bit and this bit. Do you know what? I'm going to just fit God in the rest. And I'll have God as the God of the gaps in my understanding and everything else. But you know that doesn't work. And as we understand the world more and more, all that happens there is God gets smaller and smaller. And from time to time it changes. So science pushes a boundary and they suddenly say, we're not quite sure about this. So some people put God in there and then science comes along and says, now we understand it. And they take God back out again. What an odd worldview. But many people hold it. And the Bible challenges that worldview. The Bible's worldview is not random chance, an accident, but deliberately planned and exquisite creation, which God, the landowner, has brought about. And the tenants reject that. They have their own ideas, their own worldviews, their own ways, their own whats, their own whys, their own lives that they want to lead without God, even if they'd like his vineyard. Well, the vineyard. What is the vineyard? We've sort of touched on it already. Here it is. Beautiful place. Don't forget it's beautiful. The vineyard then in the story stands for Israel, God's chosen people. Today it stands for our culture. You know, today it's Mistley Manning Tree and Lawford, the people of Britain today. We've had a distinct recent history which for many years has been Christian. What a privilege. Christian principles, our law is still very much based on Christian law, the law that God gave. We've been blessed by many good things. But do we really see God in that? The truth of this story, the fact that Jesus was telling a story his people would have understood, is clear at so many levels. For those of you who question whether the Bible is true, we've got Egyptian papyri that support significant elements of this story. tenant farmers, the fear of raiders and watchtowers, a legal case by an absentee landlord. He'd been missing for 3 years, and then he tried to prove that it was actually his vineyard. Got all of that. But Jesus is actually using something from the Old Testament to challenge these people, because he knew the Pharisees knew their Old Testament and thought they knew everything. He went back to the prophecy of Isaiah, because Isaiah spoke about this vineyard too. Self-same vineyard, with the big wall and the watchtower, and with the wine press, the complete vineyard. Isaiah chapter 5, if you want to look it up later on. And way back then, when Isaiah prophesied, what happened was God said, look, it's a beautiful vineyard, but it's going to have to be destroyed. And it was. And that's talking about God's people in history, going back into captivity in Babylon. And following that is the prophetic call to Isaiah in chapter 6, when Isaiah is caught up into the very presence of God, and God says, Isaiah, take this message to the people that they will be rescued. The Messiah will come. And Jesus is referring to all that, and he makes them think, who is that Messiah? Who is he? The vineyard is God's people. Who is the Messiah who will come? Well, now, of course, in Jesus' day, the vineyard had been restored. That's true. God's people had been brought back to the land, hadn't they? But still, the Messiah hadn't come. The vineyard is now fine, but the tenants are dodgy. The vineyard is fine, but the tenants aren't after the right fruit. You see, the fruit, I'm not going to change the picture because I've got a picture of grapes, but the fruit of the vine is one of the most wonderful things in those days. You can have it in so many ways. Yeah, some of you have been picking blackberries, haven't you? Who was picking blackberries yesterday? Yeah? Yeah? If you haven't, there's still some out there. It's probably not the best day for it. You'll get rather wet as well as prickled, but some great blackberries out there. You could have just picked the grapes off the vine. And aren't grapes straight off the vine when the sun's been shining and the water's there? Aren't they the most gorgeous? Yes? You can have them like that. Then, of course, you can press them and you can squeeze them and you can get the juice. Who likes squash? Yeah, it's called squash because we squash the fruit to get the juice out, right? So you can have grape juice and you can have all sorts of other fruit juice. And then, of course, grown-ups, some people would say let it go off, but we can do things to it and we can make other great flavours out of it as well. Come, there's so many ways to enjoy this fruit. But the fruit is actually not just the fruit of the vine. The fruit is actually righteousness. All the good things that should happen. All the good things that we long for. You know, people living in harmony with one another. Peace, kindness, generosity. All of that is what the fruit really is. Wonderful, beautiful things when people are in harmony with one another. The tenants thought you got it by grabbing. God had built a vineyard that would produce it another way. Well, who are the estate agents? The servants, who are they? They come to claim the money that God's messengers are saying, this is how you can have the righteous fruit. How do they come along? Who are they? What do? They say, this is how you have the contract fulfilled. This is the way it works. This is the people who come and say, God said, do it like this. God said, live like that. In a vineyard, it's keeping your end of the bargain. You stay as a tenant when you do what the landowner expects of you. But what do the tenants do when they see the servant? They say, oh, we can have it all. And they kill them. Who are the servants today? Servants today are the true church of God. Christians who've been preaching the true message so that others might hear and have a worldview that is God's worldview. We've mentioned already this morning Daniel and Kathleen, missionaries. We've gone out to Africa and in one of the darkest places in the world at the moment are shining like light, and even though they have had their home destroyed, are working now to help other people whose homes have been destroyed and look after refugees. If you don't know the situation in Iraq, go and look up on the internet Canon Andrew White and get his information. There's a man bringing the Christian message to a dark place, working with those who can help those in need. Do you know what? We don't actually have to look that far, because every one of you here who was a leader on Holiday Bible Club was one of these servants taking the message to somebody else. The message of God's good news. And so the question remains for us today, and Jesus at the end of the parable challenges the Pharisees, doesn't he? You think you're all right, but the kingdom of God is going to be taken away from you and given to somebody else. And we read that the crowds thought Jesus was speaking for God. He was a prophet, and we read that the Pharisees thought he was speaking about them. And they didn't like it one bit. So maybe I should rehearse what we've seen, just very briefly, for 2 minutes. Here we go. Hang on, not supposed to have got there yet. Hang on. The landowner. Who's the landowner? Can you tell me, young people? Who is the landowner? God, that's right. He's the first cause who created this lovely world, who created this lovely place of Manningtree. And he has a right and proper expectation of us. Okay, who are the tenants? Us. Well done, young people. I told you I was once a tenant. Living where God had given me a great place to be, but living as though God hadn't said anything. Living by my own worldview. So when then, what then is the vineyard? What is the vineyard? The world around us, our culture, that's right. A culture which God has overseen and he knows, and which is, he understands when it's built up and broken down. He sees when it's endangered by people from outside and when it's wrecked by people from inside. What's the fruit? Yes. Ah, the fruit is grapes in the story, but what's the other bit? Hold on, I know there's another bit there. Good things that we do, that's right. The righteous deeds of those who follow God. That's brilliant. You young people really are. I can see why you were so much help to Shirka and Excel this week. Who are the servants? Yeah, yeah. God's church, the messengers, people who bring the good news that God is sharing. We've left someone out, haven't we? Who is the Son? Who is the Son? Jesus Christ is the Son. Jesus, the Son of God. He came as the ultimate appeal by the landowner to the tenants. He came as the ultimate appeal from God to you and from God to me. He was born as a baby in Bethlehem. And on that day in history, the world first saw that God himself had taken on humanity. He lived amongst the people of the day. And when he became 30 years old or thereabouts, he started to teach and to preach and to say, "This is what God has said." And then he came to Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, which we were thinking about earlier in the week. And then he cleared the temple and he was anointed by the woman and he taught the disciples what the following days would mean. And he was betrayed and he was arrested and he was tried in a kangaroo court that had no right to meet. And he was murdered on a cross. And 3 days later he rose again. And all of that is God, the landowner's greatest appeal to you to say, come and live right in my world. Come and be a part of what I am doing, building this fantastic world of my people with this good news of grace. This is God saying, I love you. You're going the wrong way. You're wrecking the vineyard. You're taking what you want instead of doing what you need to do. This is God saying it's taking you down. You don't experience the righteousness and the joy that you should have now, and you certainly won't experience it for the rest of eternity in future. Jesus is the Son. The Pharisees in God's story killed him. And we know that happened just a few days later. But death can't hold Jesus. And he rose again. And there's a chance for you and I today to listen to the Son as he comes with the message from the landowner to you and I, the tenants. We can believe in him. We can follow him and be led into safety and security, into righteousness and to glory. Will you follow the Son, the Lord Jesus? Will you be one of his new tenants in the vineyard he's making? He won't let the vineyard be destroyed. It will be glorious, and we can be part of it. If you would like to take that thought further, there are a number of opportunities. Please come and talk to me after the service. Please consider taking one of these leaflets, which tells us about a worldview rethink course that we're hosting. Starts later this week down at Ironside Walk. It's a Friday during the day. It won't suit everybody, I know. We'll run it again at other times. Take the copy of this booklet from the stand by the door, Knowing God Personally, and read it through. And there's a prayer in there which you can pray. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I want to be part of that kingdom that God is building. And if you take that and if you pray that prayer, would you come and talk to me? Because I'd love to help you with that. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for the privilege of knowing about Jesus. We thank you for the joy of learning about him this week and of hearing again the challenge of this parable that he told all those years ago, but which is still powerful, and this gospel which is still changing hearts today. Pray that you would help us to understand how and when we should follow Jesus, where and when we should turn to him. Will you come and speak to us that today might be the day and now might be the time that we become your new tenants, that we follow Jesus on this expedition. Amen.